what we got. Doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. Sorry to say, the word on the streets that JBJ can't sing anymore. I'm not the one saying it, but I'm just saying people are saying it. It's one of the great albums of all time.
Slippery when wet?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. All right, listen, it's the Carton Show with Big Mac. Great to have you here. Knicks are at 8 o'clock tonight. Obviously, it'll be a big topic of conversation tomorrow. They are favored by 6, you say? And look, I think you saw Atlanta. They just don't have enough pieces right now to beat the Knicks. I know they went 18-2 in a 20-game span in the second half this year, and they give a lot of credit for that. They also did something I always say you got to be careful doing. They purposely sat basically their entire roster because they wanted the Knicks in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got us. You're getting swept. In any event, I want to turn my attention to the Giants with you, Big Mac.
Yes.
Because I give the Giants a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. The New York Giants were being held hostage by Dexter Lawrence, a guy coming off half a sack last year, mm-hmm. the elbow injury in 2024, 2 years left on his contract, about $20 million per, but nothing guaranteed. Went from, I ain't playing until I get paid, to I'm not playing for you no matter what. And in the shocker of all shockers, not only do the New York Giants trade him, but somehow, some way, they pull off the heist of the year. They convince the dumbest team in the NFL to give up a top 10 draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
The Cincinnati Bengals, who are desperate for defensive help after not getting a deal done with Trey Hendrickson year after year after year, they just gave up the 10th overall pick in the draft for Dexter Lawrence. So this is what that means. Instead of having 5 years of control over a rock star that you drafted number 10 in the first round, you have Dexter Lawrence for 1 year. He's getting $28 million from the Bengals. It is a one-year deal. Nothing after that's promised or guaranteed, meaning he could be a one-and-done. He's coming off half a sack. He doesn't have Brian Burns on his left or Abdul Carter on his right. The Bengals' defense stinks. It's always stunk. And you get him for a year. However the Giants pull this off, well done, sir. Yeah. Kudos to the Giants.
I think everyone agrees with that sentiment at the very least. I did not think they were going to get anywhere near this deal.
Me neither. I don't think they thought so.
I wasn't sure they were going to get a first-round pick, let alone a top 10 pick. So on the return for the idea that he didn't want to be here, and now you're hearing like he didn't want to talk to Joe Shane anymore, and his agent didn't allow him to talk to John Harbaugh either. Like, he just didn't want to deal with the Giants.
He was done with the Giants.
They were willing to give him pretty much $28 million, but they wanted it over the span of a couple of years.
Right.
So they could play some contract, you know, and mess with the salary cap or whatever. But so I don't disagree. Like, this is obvious. That is a great return for a player who didn't
want to
be
return.
Here. It's a great return. It's the top 10 pick.
Two picks in the top 10 now.
Yeah, two picks in the top 10, but here's my problem. You say rock star. I have no idea who the Giants are going to draft with that pick. I have no idea who the Bengals would have drafted with him. I don't know who the Giants are going to draft with him. And here's my point. The Giants got worse this year. They got worse this year.
Well, until the draft.
No. Even with the draft.
Oh, I disagree with
They're
that.
They're worse.
How do you say that?
Because Dexter Lawrence is a good player. He's going to be a good player. I think Dexter Lawrence can still play the game.
Let's go step by step.
I think the Giants got worse. Now,
have made the trade?
I think you have to.
Okay.
I would have had to have made the trade.
Yeah, because it's 10.
It's a 10th overall pick. He doesn't want to be here. I don't know if he would have been motivated. But ultimately, so there's a lot of questions on whether or not he would have been that guy, if he was motivated, if he would have been happy, how long the holdout goes, all that stuff. But just on the surface, take away all that, and I know you can't, but Dexter Lawrence this coming season at a position that they are, it's a barren wasteland. It is as bad. They don't have anyone. It's the biggest weakness on the team. It's going to be D tackle is arguably as bad as they've been at anything throughout all of this losing. They don't have anyone there. They were desperate to get someone. Now, maybe they could draft someone. They're going to have to possibly bring in a free agent. They don't have D tackles. Whoever they draft, whether it's going to be another defensive player, I would hope that it's even a wide receiver. You know how I feel about it, even with Odell Beckham Jr.
Wait, with number 10, really?
Yeah, I would take a wide receiver 10.
Okay.
I definitely would.
Okay.
But whatever they do, They're not going to be as good this year. And this is a year to win football games. I don't think they're going to be as good. And I don't know what they're going to do with that 10th pick. I still think Dexter Lawrence can play. So I am not thrilled today. I am not throwing a party today. I think the Giants got worse.
Wow.
And I can't guarantee that they're going to be any better. But I can't deny in the situation that they were put in, they did a fantastic job to get the 10th overall pick.
I think it's a great trade.
I think it's a great trade considering what they had to give up. And the situation, he literally... Like, he didn't want to talk to Harbaugh because he was afraid he'd get talked into staying. He didn't want to talk with Joe Shane because they didn't want to deal with Joe Shane anymore. And I don't want to hear that keeping Joe Shane kept them from keeping Dexter Lawrence. Like, that's nonsense.
No,
he didn't want to work with the Giants. He's been bitter about this. He didn't want to be here. So considering it's a player that didn't want to be here, coming off the half a sack, like you said, to get a 10th overall pick was a great job by the Giants.
I think when
no one could say different.
When the Bengals said, we'll give you number 10.
You have to take it.
I mean, I think the Giants probably said, send me the paperwork now.
Have to take it.
That's a no-brainer. Because I thought best case scenario would have been a team drafting in the mid-20s.
Yeah, no, I agree.
A late first round pick.
I said it on my Saturday show. I said it all week with you last week. If they, and I think we even said, because the Bengals were kind of rumored.
Yeah.
If I get a top 10 pick,
take it.
Easy.
Yep.
If I get a back end of the first round and a third round, like I want a back end of the
something
first,
else, right?
Plus, I'll take it. But I'm not taking a 2 and a 5. I'm not taking, because that was some of the reporting early on, is that you can get the same return that the Giants gave up for Burns, which was a 2 and a 5. I'm not doing it. I think Dexter Lawrence is a good player. I would dare him to not play and see what that does for his career.
Right.
I would have challenged him and said, look, if we get what we want, we'll trade you. If not, you're playing. And,
right.
And,
20 million bucks.
20 million bucks, or we'll meet you somewhere down the middle, but you don't even want to talk to us.
Right.
So forget it.
No, saying, so he was going to make 20 million non-guaranteed this year and next year.
Yeah. So like I would have held firm. They got what I would have needed to trade him. So on the surface, they did a great job. I'm amazed they were able to drum up that kind of package.
I'm shocked by it. I think the Bengals are morons.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think they're in a short window to win championships with Joe Burrow, and they need someone to stuff the middle, and I think he is still going to be a very good player. Now he's talking all nonsense that he's motivated, and he hasn't been this motivated in forever. He's got a hunger burning inside of him
that
he hasn't had in forever. So like the further we get away from it, the more I understand it.
Something must have happened here.
I'm not
sure if it's a Joe Shane issue. It's immaterial. But something must have happened where he either felt underappreciated for playing through the injury, or I know, don't forget, last year he was upset. I think it was with Carl Banks, right, at one point. And it came down to, I think PFF had to put out, look, he's still double-teamed more than every defensive tackle in football.
Right.
Like on like 80% of the defensive snaps, he was being doubled, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's probably a pride factor there. And listen, I don't know if you've been there because you've been here for so long and I've never worked anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a shot or a knock.
No, I get it.
I think for some people, you know, you get to a point where you just can't bring yourself to want to suit up for that particular guy or that franchise. And when you're a skillful player, as good as we've seen Dexter Lawrence be, and you think you've still got that kind of football in you, it becomes a pride factor.
No, I get
it. Look, people have made a lot of bad decisions based on pride, right?
Of course.
But to be fair, if the Bengals are willing to give you $28 million guaranteed for 1 year, and the New York Giants, we think, would have given you something. We don't know for a fact,
It would have been roughly around the same thing guaranteed. But it
tells me that this is a guy that got tired of whatever was being shoveled his way from the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's never played for Harbaugh, so I can't see it's a Harbaugh issue. He obviously had Joe Shane as his general manager, but once the deal's done, how much is he even seeing Joe Shane, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he made a decision, and maybe it was his agent that made it for him, certainly possible, that the New York Giants are never going to do right by you with a second big contract. So the only way to get the money you want is to play the hand to get out of town. Now, he has a one-year deal. If he has half a sack for the Cincinnati Bengals...
No, then you're going to end up... loving the trade. But and that's here's all I'm saying, because I don't disagree with you. It's a great return, and under the circumstances and what we know now, they had to make the deal. So I'm happy with the overall deal. But if you would have presented me with two options, and one of them being trade him for the 10th pick, and the second one being him and Harbaugh work it out. You find a way to meet, have a meeting of the minds, and he comes back motivated, rejuvenated, and ready to play for the New York Giants.
Right.
I would have taken option B.
Would you have given him 4 years, $130 million?
No, I don't think you would have had to do that. No, I would have just given him
60
some more,
guaranteed?
I would have given him, yeah. I probably would have given him like somewhere between 50 and 60 guaranteed.
Yeah, because that's what I think it would have taken.
Over the next couple years. And have him happy and playing for the next two seasons where I'm on the hook for money for the next two.
Right.
I wouldn't have wanted to been on the money on the hook for money past
no,
that.
No, that'd be silly. You're
but
right.
Over the next 2 years, I would have been willing to be on the hook with money, have him happy and playing, because I think this year is important. Right? I understand that John Harbaugh, this isn't based on one season. And if you look and how teams are built, and you get multiple draft picks and years down the line. And like, but it hurts this year's team. And I really feel
well, you
like
don't know who he's been replaced with yet.
I'd be surprised.
What if you get both kids from Ohio State? Right?
Yeah, defensively?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the safety is widely considered arguably the best defensive player.
Caleb
in the draft.
Downs, right?
Caleb Downs is
right.
Widely considered, you know, the best player in the draft, and you can get.
Because, look,
know,
here's the deal.
If you get Sonny Styles and you get Downs, like, yeah, that helps the
you
defense.
You need a defensive tackle now.
Yep.
You need a safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need two cornerbacks.
Yes.
That's four guys you need, right?
They need an interior lineman.
Yeah.
They need a lot. They still need a lot. But
they're a 5-win team.
I think they're better than that. I think they could still be better than that, and I think they had a better chance of being better than that with Dexter Lawrence.
Here's where you and I are going to fundamentally disagree. I think. Let me see if I read the tea leaves right.
Yeah.
I think the 5th and the 10th both have to be defensive players. And I think you would take a wide receiver at 10.
I would.
Not a 5, right?
Would
you take a receiver at 5?
No. I wouldn't
take
a receiver
would.
At 5. At 10, I would.
Yeah. I think you have
now,
to make.
I won't be. If it is Styles and Downs, I won't kill it. That's a,
right.
That's
a solid
that's
first
a solid,
round.
Solid, really solid first
absolutely
round.
Absolutely right.
I'd be excited by that first round.
Yeah.
But I do disagree with the premise that it has to both be defense.
Okay, so let me go to the next question. I think this is probably a bigger question for the future of the Giants, certainly in this draft, and maybe not beyond this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think made the trade? Because there's a big debate now. Is Joe Shane just a figurehead who says, hey, a coach, here's all my research.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Harbaugh and Donna Ponte look through Joe Shane's research and they're doing it without him. Do you think Joe Shane got the deal done? Because I would assume he's the one calling the Bengals, not John Harbaugh.
I would think, yeah.
So I think this is a great trade. You may be off of great.
But I don't.
You think it's a good trade?
Under the circumstances, it's a great trade.
So
I
want to know who we give credit to.
I just can't be like thrilled about it. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Like,
I can't wake up today and be thrilled that they got a 10th pick instead of Dexter Lawrence. That's all.
Okay.
But under the circumstances, I can't disagree. It's a great return. And I think that they
for a guy who's been hurt,
100%.
Obviously the elbow's been a problem.
It's not even so much the player.
He also looks like he needs to shed a couple LBs.
He's big. He's a big
fella. I mean, he's a big fella no matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah. And I, guys like that can get in shape pretty quick.
That belt was hanging on for dear life. There's no doubt.
Sure was. I felt bad for the buttons.
I mean, there's no doubt. But I still think he'd be a great player, and I would have loved to have seen him stay.
I want to know who gets credit for it.
I think they all do. I think it's a Harbaugh. Right now, Harbaugh gets credit or blame for everything.
Will you call Pat up or Connor up? I want to know who orchestrated the trade with Cincinnati. Because that's to me, that's the side story that's really interesting. Who's running this year's draft for the Giants? It would seem that it's John Harbaugh and Donna Ponte. But, you know, Joe Shane, theoretically, is the guy that is doing all the research. He's the guy that, you know, has all the GMs on Quick Dial, right? So what's interesting to me is, is this one of those situations where John Harbaugh came to Joe Shane and said, I don't want to deal with any nonsense year one. If the guy's a malcontent, as good a player as he once was, I can't have a cancer in my building because I'm trying to build something from scratch here? Or was it Joe Shane that came to Harbaugh and said, if you let me do my work, I think I can get a high first-round pick for him? Like, someone's got to take credit for this deal. And I'd like to know who gets the credit for the deal. Because I don't know. You have any idea?
I mean, I think who gets credit for
it? Yeah, who made the deal happen?
I don't know who made the deal happen, but I think John Harbaugh gets credit for it.
Why?
Because he's the face of it right now. And
I don't know that he deserves credit for it.
And all the blame. I don't disagree
with
you.
What if Joe Shane said, give me a minute to see what I can do? And Joe Shane comes back to Harbaugh and goes, hey, coach, I can get you the 10th pick overall. What do you want to do? Now, Harbaugh's got to sign off on it, obviously. I'm not suggesting he's not the guy that ultimately signs off on the deal. But if Joe Shane pulled this off, to me, the notion of just cutting ties with Joe Shane because Harbaugh's the new sheriff in town, or because of the failures of the last 4 or 5 years, I would think this would be a win you know, a check in the win column.
I would hope that
for Joe Shane.
I would think that John Harbaugh would look at it as such and then make a decision on it. And this might go into the category of Joe Shane's maybe worth keeping around, but I don't know. I don't.
You don't think Joe Shane's got anything to do with anything anymore? Is what it sounds like.
I don't think he gets credit for anything, and I don't think this is a.
I don't think this is a Harbaugh deal. I think this is a Joe Shane deal.
Again,
could be wrong.
You're asking me who gets credit for it.
Yeah,
credit is a.
Well,
subjective
who did the
thing.
Deal?
No, but that's a different.
Whose
question.
Idea was it?
Different question.
Okay, whose idea?
Different question.
Who got it done?
Different question.
Who gets credit?
Different question.
They're all the same question.
No, they're not. They're all different questions.
Whose idea was it?
Different question.
Who got it done?
Different question.
Who gets credit for it?
Different question.
You think that's three different questions?
I think that is three distinct.
I think those are
questions.
Three questions that all lead to the same answer.
They could all have a different answer. They could all have a different answer.
Well, now and I got to talk to Pat Leonard or Connor Hughes about
credit,
it.
Credit? You're asking. Yeah. If you're asking who should get credit for it, that's a different question.
I know what you're saying.
You're asking who will get credit for it.
Well, if we find out that Joe Shane navigated the deal, then Joe Shane should get credit for it.
No, I understand that.
Will he get credit for it?
I think everything falls under the new leadership of John Harbaugh.
Yeah. What are you looking at me for? You guys are on your phones like schoolgirls. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No, I didn't get back from Pat or Connor, but Art Stapleton said that it was even. Aponte, Shane, Chris Maron.
You
Harbaugh.
Asked directly, or this is something Art Stapleton put out on his own?
No, I texted, of course. I have a relationship with all of them.
So everyone gets credit.
Can I raise my hand real quick and just ask you a question?
You can just ask a question without raising your hand.
I know I'm going to embarrass myself here, and I apologize for that. Who's Art Stapleton?
No, stop. Art Stapleton's the best.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
So get him on the show.
I have him on my Saturday show all the time.
Well, call him up.
All right.
The idea wasn't for you to text someone off air. When I'm asking the question on air,
yeah.
I don't care about your off-air text. I want an on-air text.
I just wanted to text him.
No.
I was having fun doing that.
I'm telling you that if Art Stapleton, who's obviously a legendary New York Giants beat reporter, yeah. For whom? Anybody know? Yes.
NJ.com, yes.
Oh, I like that guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I like NJ.com. Does a sneaky good job,
Art
by the way.
Art Stapleton is my guy. He's one of the best.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, get him on the phone then, you knucklehead. It's always been a pet peeve of mine when producers of ours and mine do their own show off the air.
Well, you asked for information. He got it.
Pat or Connor.
He put out a lot of...
So if you have Art Stapleton, who's obviously... Giant fans love Art Stapleton.
Yes.
It's not for you to have your own information so that you could bring it to me. It's so I can ask Art Stapleton, who's in the building covering the Giants.
Yes.
Art, what do you know? Let's give guys credit for the job they do.
Okay.
Because Pete's trying to take credit for Art Stapleton's work.
He's not trying to take credit.
He's like more Ashwood Nicky Gist.
A lot like that.
Yeah, a lot like
a
that.
A lot like that. No.
Yeah.
You asked him to get some information.
I want to hear it from the horse's mouth so I can ask the questions.
He can't come on at the moment.
He can't come on at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not surprised the disrespect you showed him.
Not at all.
He had a nice buildup for him.
Who?
I'm sorry. I didn't know who he worked for. I know the name.
Art's the guy. But listen.
Yeah. So let me get this right.
Yeah.
What's he doing right now that he can't come on?
He's probably working the phones.
He has a TV spot right now.
See, TV spot.
He's recording
TV. What
TV
show is he on?
He's recording a TV show.
Good for him.
Yeah. General Hospital.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny was my favorite character.
Was he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great character, by the way.
No.
Yeah, Vanessa Marcel was my favorite female character in that show of all time, too.
Yes.
But yeah.
Look, I think that's what you're going to get, though. Oh, we were all involved in it. Like, I don't know.
No, I don't think John Harbaugh Giants give credit to everybody. I think they take credit.
I think they move in silence. That's what I think.
Like G's and lasagna?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think they move in silence, and they're not going to tell you what's going on in that building right now.
Okay.
I really don't think... It doesn't matter who gets credit for it. It doesn't matter.
No, that's like to know.
They got a really good return, but ultimately, I think the team got worse.
Which is a crazy statement to make, but I respect it.
How is that a crazy statement?
How'd they get worse? They got rid of a guy with half a sack.
Yeah,
and they're getting the 10th best pick in the draft.
That guy
might become a rock star.
He might.
He might not
Or he might become a nobody.
Well,
if they draft Evan Neal, they got a real problem.
Ugh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Where is he, 7th?
Yeah.
Right? I think it was 7th.
Yeah.
9th, 7th.
6th, 5th. I think it was 5 and 7 they had that year.
Yeah.
Thibodeau. Fifth overall pick.
Another one.
Would you be happy if for the next few years they got Tibbs instead
of... Good point. They've not drafted well.
No.
Bad drafting team.
Have not been great.
Not good.
Had some moments, had some good picks, but not good enough. Dexter Lawrence was one of them.
Yeah, good
pick. Now you got to replace Dexter Lawrence. Like, I'm just saying, look.
Now you're talking me out of my feelings. I feel it's a great deal.
They did a great job, but I'm not celebrating the idea that they traded Dexter Lawrence for a 10th round pick.
All right, let's take some calls, Giant fans. The draft is Thursday. When you woke up to the news yesterday that you got the 10th pick in the draft for Dexter Lawrence, how'd you feel about it? The Afternoon Fan Line sponsored by Verizon Business, 888-808-1019 is the number. Sebastian's in Ronkonkoma, my favorite lake, by the way. Mm-hmm. How you doing, Sebastian?
What up, guys? I'm doing awesome. Hey, that lake is really beautiful, by the way.
It's one of the great lakes.
I just want to call and say, what did you say?
Go ahead.
I just want to say, super excited that Harbaugh got rid of Dexy. He was a great player. Loved him. But if he doesn't want to be here,
so can I ask you a quick question as a Giant fan? Can you ask you a quick question? I'm not going to hang up on you. It's interesting the way you did that. You said, I want to give John Harbaugh credit for getting rid of Sexy Dexy. And I ask you a question, if I may. Yeah. Why do you say John Harbaugh when John Harbaugh is the one that said, I'm excited to have Dexter Lawrence playing for me in Giant Blue?
We go back to the opening press conference. Mm-hmm. He wants football players that love football, that wants to be a Giant. And even though he did say that he wants Dexter Lawrence back, I mean, he wasn't going to come out and say, yeah, we don't want him back. Mm-hmm. But this move of them trading Sexy Dexy,
okay,
I don't think, you know, Harbaugh.
That the interesting part of this is what you referenced earlier, Big Mac, that Joel Siegel, the agent for Dexter Lawrence, according to all reports now, forbid Dexter Lawrence from speaking to John Harbaugh as he was trying to negotiate, you know, or be a part of, you know, the trade conversation.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's really bizarre. I mean, they didn't want to work with Joe Shane, and they wouldn't let him talk to John Harbaugh. Like, it was almost like they didn't want to work with the Giants. He wanted to not be a Giant so badly that he either didn't want to talk to the guy who made him feel that way in Joe Shane, and didn't want to talk to the guy who might be able to talk him into wanting to stay. Like, he just wanted out.
Yeah.
And so, again, I want to make what I'm saying clear, because I know I'm acknowledging, considering the circumstances, I think they did a great trade. But overall, if you could go back in time and figure out this negotiation, I think the Giants would have been better served keeping Dexter Lawrence and making him happy. Now, there came a point where that was no longer plausible, so the trade's a great trade. But ultimately, I'm just saying, I'm not going to celebrate. I'm not going to sit here and go, woohoo! Dexter Lawrence in exchange for a 10th overall pick. The Giants just made an incredible deal. They're so much better now. They'll be better in the next handful of years. Like, ultimately, I would have rather have kept the player. But it did get to a point where this was the best they could do, and they got an incredible return for him. So we'll see where it goes. So, we'll see with the lottery pick. You know, that's what it is. It's a lottery ticket. It's a lottery ticket in hopes that you draft a great player. And if they do, it's going to be a slam dunk.
I think it's a great deal. But you're right. They could get the pick wrong.
Yeah.
So according to Mike Florio and Paul Schwartz for the New York Post, who does a great job as well, the Siegel, the agent for Dexter Lawrence, did not want to talk to general manager Joe Shane either.
Yeah.
Instead, he reportedly negotiated and trying to get a deal done with the Giants with Don Aponte's title of Senior VP of Football Administration and a Senior Player Personnel Director, Chris Mara, although Shane was still involved behind the scenes with Chris Mara and Don Aponte. So it's interesting that he's become more isolated in the Dexter Lawrence situation as a representative of the Giants, where the agent said, essentially, the player's not talking to the coach, with the thought process being, the coach is going to convince him to come back and build something special.
That's what I'm assuming.
And the agent is unwilling to talk to the general manager, probably because in his mind, you have no power.
Yeah.
It's wasted breath for me if I talk to you. Right?
That, and there's probably some resentment. Like, some of the reasons he's unhappy is because of the way Joe Shane has handled business.
Let me go to my main man, Pat Leonard, covers the Giants for the Daily News and also has a badass podcast, Talking Ball, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's called. In any event, I know Pat's only got a few minutes. Pat, walk us through how this thing went down and who gets credit on the Giants side for getting a 10th overall pick from the Bengals for Dexter Lawrence.
Craig, what's up? Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, John Harbaugh gets the credit. I think he's the final say. So the way this worked is Joe Shane was involved in it from a standpoint of sometimes the phone calls and the negotiations and the conversations were Joe Shane for the Giants and Joel Siegel for Dexter Lawrence, his agent,
right,
whose name has been dragged through the mud the last 24 to 48 hours, it appears, which is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giants' internal process is that Joe Shane essentially works for John Harbaugh now. So when he's taking those calls, when he's voicing the Giants' side of that negotiation, he is still going back to John Harbaugh, reporting that back to John Harbaugh. And as it progressed, it became very clear to the Giants that Dexter, even though he made money the issue early, the issue was that he didn't want to be here and that there were a lot of reasons for that. How Shane has handled other player negotiations and how Dexter's best player teammates weren't able to stick around because the Giants couldn't get it done and couldn't do right by them was one of them.
Okay, real quick. I hate to interrupt, but I got to ask, what were the other issues that came up that made Dexter Lawrence unwilling to play for the Giants anymore?
Well, there's the football and then there's the business. The football side, Craig, is that going 7-27 in the last 34, we are 2 years removed from Dexter saying, I'm done rebuilding. Like, he said that out loud. I'm done rebuilding. Stop asking me about it. It's time to win, right? So losing, and on top of that, if you guys recall their loss in Pittsburgh when Russell Wilson was the quarterback there, that was a game where Deontay Banks quit on the field. Dexter Lawrence was doing breathing exercises on the sideline to prevent himself from going over and choking out his teammates because he was just finished with the fact that there wasn't enough accountability on the team. Mm-hmm. So that was draining him. The fact that the culture wasn't holding everybody accountable and he felt like he was on an island. The business side of it was that Saquon Barkley was talked to and treated the way he was, goes and wins. It's also Leonard Williams and Julian Love and Dexter Lawrence and their wives, frankly. They are all very close, very good friends, still talk a lot. And Leonard Williams and Julian Love voicing to Dexter both what happened with them as far as being traded out of town and then Julian feeling like he wasn't properly valued and then leaving and being able to come back to Dexter and saying, hey, the grass actually is greener on the other side. These were a lot of the factors that Dexter was internalizing as he also felt underpaid. And it all kind of, you know, built up to him, first of all, not recently. The public trade request was recent for him to force his way out of town. But it started essentially 2 years ago with him kind of showing signs to the Giants that he wanted more done on their end.
Got it. And do you think the Giants were surprised? They probably shouldn't because the Bengals are morons. That the Bengals actually offered the 10th overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, you know, people are saying, hey, Giants did well here. The consensus around the league of people I was talking to, like, I know there were some reports that people felt they could get a late first. All the people I trusted felt like it was going to look like a high second plus more picks. Now, it was funny. When the trade went down, I think a lot of fans were upset that it only included one pick. But you have to, as a Giants fan, you do have to recognize Dexter was not going to play here.
Yeah.
So the fact that he wasn't going to play for the team and they still got number overall, yes, no, the Giants were pleasantly surprised, and they did as well as you can in this situation with a player who was as frustrated as Dexter was, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. The one thing I don't know if it's immaterial, but the one thing I'll push back on slightly is, I mean, wasn't Leonard Williams asked if he wanted to be traded and then asked where he could be traded? Like, that's the one, I keep hearing that. Do you think the Giants did anything wrong with Leonard Williams when he was literally asked where he wanted to go?
No, that was more above board than the Julian situation. It was more like Dexter just, and they even talked to Dexter about that as it was going down.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, understood that they had to do it for business reasons, but he still didn't agree with it.
Okay.
So it wasn't the same thing as what happened with Julian Love, but trading him off the team, even though you could say that the process seemed sound getting a high second rounder, was not something that Dexter loved. And in hindsight, as he's watching what Leonard is accomplishing and what he is not, it just doesn't sit well with him.
Good.
I was just going to ask, so like, he obviously didn't want to be here. And what do you make with him not wanting to talk to Harbaugh, not wanting to deal with Joe Shane? And then was there, now that he signs a one-year contract extension for about $28 million, like, there was never any way to work something even close to that? And why didn't he want to talk to Harbaugh at all? Or why did his agent advise him not to want to talk to Harbaugh?
Yeah, no, it is interesting. I mean, it's not as unusual or uncommon as it's been made to sound recently that, like, when it gets contentious, the player kind of steps back and lets the agent and the team work it out, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think from Dexter's standpoint, he just felt like he had been here for, what was it, seven years?
Mm-hmm.
And he felt like the Giants had, over the last 2 years especially, treated him a certain way in those negotiations, and that he had made up his mind on how they felt about him. And not that they didn't value him at all. I mean, obviously they did to an extent. They paid him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But he felt like he already made a decision about how they felt about him. I did think it was interesting early on that he and Harbaugh did not have a more direct in-person extended conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we were asking back at the combine, asking Harbaugh, had that happened yet? Why hasn't that happened? Are you going to do that? Right? Because we knew how Dexter felt. I knew how Dexter felt. What was your other question? You asked why he didn't want to talk to Harbaugh. What was the other question there?
About the $28 million, because that doesn't sound like a number that would have been crazy. I know it's been reported the Giants would have wanted it over more years as opposed to the one-year extension. But does the idea that a number like that gets it done really even just signify more that it had nothing to do with money and there was nothing or nowhere the Giants could have went? Or do you think the Giants stopped at and could have gone beyond the $28 million and Dexter would have considered it?
So one thing I was told over the course of the last few days was that, the Giants, it wasn't like good riddance here from the Giants, especially once John Harbaugh was really involved and once it escalated. Like, Harbaugh treated Dexter with the respect of a player who he frankly was hoping was going to stay on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just got to a point where when you see the, frankly, compared to what people were expecting to see on the extension, when you see what it actually came in as, that to me reflects, based on what I've heard, that reflects that the Giants did show Dexter some respect and did make some moves towards him at the end. It just became a situation where they recognized he wasn't just interested in getting a little bit of a sweetener. He just wanted a fresh start.
Yeah.
And so I think at first, frankly, I don't think the Giants fully understood or took seriously that element of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think once the Joe Shane part of it, that relationship part of it, once the Giants got other people involved, Donna Ponte got involved, John Harbaugh was more involved directly, they fully grasped that, okay, this isn't just about a little bit more money. This is about a player who has just soured on what the Giants have or have not built here. And he wants to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, Harbaugh's not thrilled that Dexter Lawrence isn't on the Giants anymore. You know what I mean? Like, this is not what he signed up for when he was hired. But getting 10th overall at least makes you feel a little bit better about it.
Plus, when you get $20 million a year, you'll sleep well tonight no matter what. Always appreciate your time. I know you got a jet. Look forward to talking to you through this draft and beyond. Talking Ball is the podcast. Pat Leonard with the New York Daily News as well. And always appreciate a few minutes, pal. Be good.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, boys. See ya.
Yep. All right, so there you go.
See? And he just kind of said it. I was going to ask that next, but he was out of time, and he did kind of answer it. I don't think that John Harbaugh is happy with the exchange of Dexter Lawrence for a 10th round, 10th overall
pick.
Well,
I think the idea is,
I think he'd rather have Dexter Lawrence.
I think, though, it's one of those deals where it's like you wanted the 10-speed bike, but you got the 8-speed bike, so you're not going to cry about it.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that the player was disgruntled, knew the player, obviously, right. He now made his stand. I don't want to be here. So the fact that you could get the 10th overall pick, maybe not his first choice.
Right, yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But you're never going to do better than what they got.
No.
Like, let's even say this.
They did a great job.
Let's say Dexter Lawrence was coming off a 10-sack year,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a half a sack year. I'm not sure that you get better than the 10th pick anyway.
I know. That's fair.
Right?
No, that's fair.
Which is why the thing I push back on you is, and obviously there's nowhere to know who's going to be right about this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they got worse today. Part of it's going to be, who do they draft? How does that kid do?
Well, it depends. Again,
he's coming off half a sack.
I feel very confident, very, very, very confident in saying they did not, they got worse this year. Now, I don't know, in 2-3 years, can you tell me they did themselves a major upgrade with that 10th pick for the long term of the franchise? I'm open to that. This coming season, I don't know how you can make a case that they got better.
Well, simple. If they go draft a guy that becomes Rookie of the Year or something like that, you know, Pro Bowl player, this is a guy with 10 sacks, I don't know. But he's coming off half a sack.
This is the second best D tackle in the sport.
Not last year.
I know not last year. But
Well, okay. So I do.
We'll see what he does in Cincinnati.
Look, I think there's a chance we find out year one that the New York Giants made the right decision here. Now, you could be right. Maybe it's 2 or 3 years into the new player's career because we don't know who they're drafting or where they're drafting him. Obviously, if they draft a wide receiver at 10 and the offensive line stinks or Jackson Dart gets hurt, it doesn't mean it was a bad pick, but you can say at that point, hey, should have kept Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah.
So there's no answer yet.
No, there isn't.
But I think the New York Giants getting the 10th overall pick is,
I think
like the Jets getting 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner.
It's not.
As soon as the other team says yes, you take it.
Yeah.
Considering
all the circumstances, yes. But I think Pat just said it. When he took the job, if you told John Harbaugh you could have a motivated and newly paid and refreshed Dexter Lawrence or the 10th overall
pick. But that wasn't the option.
I get it.
That wasn't like that, I get that, to pick that, between those
it
two.
It became obvious that wasn't the
I
option.
Get a disgruntled, out of shape, half a sack defensive tackle who wants $60 million guaranteed, $30 million, whatever it might be.
Right.
Or I get the 10th pick. I'll take the 10th pick all day.
I get it.
Yeah.
Totally agree. But I'm just saying I can't be excited about that.
Yeah.
I can't
get excited.
I can't be excited that the Giants organization ran such a terrible job that they turned against them, one of the best players in the NFL, and to a point where they had to move him. And now I'm going to go, well, considering the circumstances, they got a great pick. Like, I'm not happy about the situation.
But he
overall.
Wasn't the best defensive tackle last year.
I know that. Because part of it was because they couldn't motivate him and they had such a lousy team for so many years.
I thought making $20 million a year was motivation enough.
It should have been.
So silly.
I agree. I understand.
Couldn't motivate a professional player to be a professional player.
I get it.
Yeah. He got mad at Carl Banks.
Yeah. I get it.
Well, now you can go play in Cincinnati. Good. Live in Kentucky and eat Skyline chili for the rest of your life, Chubbs. No, I'm just taking it back. I like him a lot.
Oh, you do
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
You do? Do you like Skyline Chili?
I love Skyline Chili. Love it.
I could see myself eating it, just not over pasta.
Well, that's the best part.
Nah.
I get it 10-way, too. I get everything on it. Like sink.
You got to get everything
on it. There's no point in getting it. It's a watery chili. Have you had it?
No, I haven't. I've seen it a million times, so I know what it is.
I like it.
Like,
yeah. I agree it's not for everyone, especially not for the bougie reach like Gary Cohen. But the reality is that...
I know, he hates it, right?
Because he's bougie. I admit, it's not a bougie food. It's watery chili on thin, cheap spaghetti. Yeah,
it's like...
It's everything you want it to be, though.
It's like... It's perfect
like, you stroll home at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're wasted, and you're like, I gotta eat something. I need something to eat. I'll take that watery chili on that cheap, thin spaghetti all day and night. I'm your huckleberry on that.
I guess.
I loves it. It's like go to Mahmoud's right here.
Excuse me?
You ever go to Mahmoud's?
Mahmoud's?
Yeah. No. Best falafel sandwich in New York. About 10 blocks from here.
No, I've never been.
In Soho. You never been to Mahmoud's?
No, I would love to go to Mahmoud's.
Oh, do you like falafel?
I do like falafel. Who doesn't like falafel?
Late night falafel, baby. Yeah. I'm your daddy.
A little late night.
What?
As long as I'm not going to sleep in the next couple of hours.
You're not going to sleep because you're drunk.
Well, but falafel and booze right before bed?
No, not right before bed. It's right after that last shot that you shouldn't have did.
Yeah.
And you're like, my moods is open. Yeah. I'll walk it off.
Meet you at my moods.
They're the falafel king of New York. Yeah, I'll get you some.
All right, give me some.
But falafel's not like a good cold.
No.
You got to eat it hot.
You got to get hot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, good.
I think we can go to Wohop, get some lo mein. And then we could go to sleep.
Okay.
Different rooms, of course. Matter of fact, are you staying in the city Thursday night after the draft? Yeah, I'm staying in the city.
Are you really?
Did they
put you up?
No.
Okay, well.
The thing goes to 10 o'clock, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you got to find out if I can leave early on that. Because if I can leave at 9, I'll go home. But then I won't drink. If I'm staying till 10 and I'm having a few Grand Marnies and Coke, then I was going to take you to Wohop. But if you're not staying in the city.
I got to stay there and do the go get him. I got to do the go get him after.
No, you don't. The beauty of the podcast is you when you want.
No, I got to do it after the series finale of a Red Sox series.
Do a drive home.
Cam Schlittler on the mound.
Do a drive home.
Yeah.
Do a WoHop version.
A WoHop.
Of the go get him podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
Ugh, you're no fun.
Big series. Big series for the Yankees.
Red Sox.
Big series. Yes. And that needs to still be the thought process after these three games.
We got to take a break.
The Boston Red Sox have owned during the regular season.
Yeah.
The Yankees, even when they've been bad, they've played well against the Yankees. They are scuffling right now. Sonny Gray left the mound with a hamstring injury today. Their ace pitcher is having a terrible start to his year, Crochet. You can't allow the Boston Red Sox to feel different and better about themselves after three games with the Yankees. You need to put foot to ass this series.
I like it. Today, by the way, is one of the great days, I think, in this country when it comes to sports. You had the Boston Marathon.
Yep.
13 years ago today was the bombing at the Boston Marathon. 13 years already?
Wow.
Yeah, it has. Yep. And it's Patriots Day.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Red Sox played at 11 o'clock this morning.
They did.
I think they support the Jimmy Fund with that game every single year. But just a great day. Boston's a great city. The people, not so much, but the city is great. And 13 years. And the guy that won the marathon, I think won it last year also, he ran 26.2 miles in 2 hours and 1 minute.
Jeez.
That means he was on a dead sprint for 26.2 miles.
That's crazy.
Let that sink in. Slow pants.
Who are you calling slow pants?
Me, you, him, everybody. The Afternoon Fan Line sponsored by Verizon Business. It's the Card Show of Big Mac.
All right, this Pinstripe Preview is brought to you by California Cryobank. Help build a dynasty. Become a donor with the world's number one sperm bank. I just gave it to you pretty much. This is a big series against the Boston Red Sox. Yes, Yankees have won three in a row, swept Kansas City. The Red Sox are tied with the Blue Jays, I believe, right now for last place. They have been scuffling. They haven't been playing well. This is an opportunity to go in there and put them down. Because the Red Sox have played far too well. You're going to have two of your against the Yankees over the last couple of years. You're going to have two of your best starters in this series. You're going to see Max Fried in the second game. You're going to see, obviously, Cam Schlittler in the third game. I know a lot of talk about him getting death threats and everything going back to Boston. But this is a big series. I do not want the story, and the Yankees should be talking about this. Aaron Boone should be mentioning it to the team. Because I'm telling you right now, I know Alex Cora is saying it to the Red Sox. They play well against the Yankees. The last thing you want is to leave this series and the story being the Red Sox have found themselves. That is the last thing the Yankees want. So go out there and take two out of three bare minimum in Boston for a big series this week. This Odyssey, let me do this instead. Fanatics Fest, the world's number one sports fan festival, returns to the Javits Center in New York City from July 16th to the 19th. See top athletes and just announced former Mets and Yankees greats. Mike Piazza, Jorge Posada, David Wright, Mariano Rivera, Keith Hernandez, Don Mattingly, Daryl Strawberry, Andy Pettit, and Jose Reyes. There'll be live panels, autographs, photo ops, rare trading cards and memorabilia, plus exclusive merch drops that you can only get at Fanatics Fest. This is the ultimate weekend where sports and culture collide. Tickets are on sale now, so grab yours at fanaticsfest.com. And this Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by Dr. Jay Schott, Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com.